S-R-N. Welcome to CCN for February 2014? Welcome to CCN for February 2014, take two.
Forget what year we're in.
I already forgot everything. This is welcome to the Cinema Crispy, so bonus episode for the month. The one show of the month where I talk about not movies. So,
we're not talking about movies, Chris.
Trying to do too many things with this this one tablet, man. It's multitask. I need another tablet.
No, you don't.
I need something. I need something because I got the stories on here. I got the sound effects. I got the bed music. It's
you needed the tablet, and now you need something else to assist the tablet.
I need a tablet assisted. I need. Well, this is already a mini. This is a 7-inch, so it would be a smaller tablet than that.
It'd be your cell phone.
It'd be my phone. Not incorporating the phone. That's a bridge too far. Drewster Cogburn, thank you very much for chiming in already before I can introduce you. That's Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going.
All right, right on. We're doing another CCN. This is another chance for me to talk about some things that, I love movies. Everyone knows that. That's my thing. That's what I do.
That's your jam.
But, I mean, it can't be movies 24/7. That is literally impossible.
Well, it's not impossible.
It is literally impossible. Unless I dream about movies for 8 hours straight, which I won't.
We can plug you in. Plug you to sleep.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you?
We're going to brain jack you, dude.
Whoa, I mean, if we're going to go Johnny Mnemonic on it, yeah, if I could watch movies in my sleep, yeah, get so many more movies out of the way, that'd be great. That actually would be fantastic. But, no, there are other things in the world. There's a lot of shit going on, and I'm not even talking about just, like, pop culture-wise, but the world in general, shit's a-popping. And I want to talk about some of it. And so here we go, right? Let's talk about some of it.
All right.
What do you say, Drew?
I mean, if you say so.
You been paying attention to any of this, what's going on TV lately?
Nah, I don't give a crap.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You haven't been watching none of this, the Olympics?
I've never been watching the Olympics, yeah.
Well, that's what I've been talking about. So you don't give a crap, but you've been watching it?
Yeah.
All right, well, fair enough. Here we go. Check this out.
I love this music. Please don't sue us, Olympics. We don't have the rights to this song.
Yeah, but you know what? It's a constructive, critical conversation about the Olympics, my friend. 2014 Winter Olympics going down right now in Sochi, Russia.
Weird place to have the Olympics, bro.
Very weird place to have the Olympics. And you know what? Maybe not a good place to have the Olympics when it's all said and done. All right. So, top story. The Olympics. Are going down in Russia.
Uh-huh.
And they're failing at it.
they're failing?
The Russians, I mean, they're winning medals and stuff, and there are things going on. But overall, so far, they're kind of failing. And I have to admit, for whatever reason, I believe it's called Schadenfreude.
What?
You don't know Schadenfreude?
I know what the fuck you're talking about.
It's when one takes delight in the failure of others.
Oh, that's me. Oh. They might as well just call it Drew Syndrome.
Drew Syndrome. Well, it's actually called Schadenfreude. It's
awesome.
Named after a different dude.
I got a wicked case of that, let me tell you.
Wicked case of the Schadenfreudes. Yeah, because I got this for the first time ever, and I wonder if it's because of the nature of social media, because even now with the way people use Twitter and the internet, it's different from even 4 years ago during the Vancouver Olympics, you know? It's even different from 2 years ago at the Beijing Olympics. Shit changes so fast these days. Maybe is it because of that? I don't know. But for some reason, I'm enjoying so much all the little things that are failing and fucking up and collating everything. And you know what? That's what I did. I put it all together. And I just want to talk about how this hashtag Sochi2014 equals hashtag fail. It's all about Twitter, man.
Oh, God.
Speaking of Twitter, all right, an indication of how bad it's going over there.
Okay.
There's an official Twitter account for the Sochi Olympics. I think it's like at Sochi2014.
Okay.
About 200,000 followers.
Uh-huh.
There is another hashtag run by, another user account run by a Canadian journalist called Sochi Problems.
Okay.
100,000 more followers than the official Olympic.
Nice.
All right. So people are enjoying that way more. And he's putting out a lot of stuff, retweeting stuff. And that's just become a thing. Hashtag Sochi Problems has been trending worldwide for a few weeks now.
Yeah.
Much to the chagrin of Vladimir Putin.
I'm sure he's quite angry about that.
He's very angry about it, and so are a lot of Russians. They're,
I mean, if it's the most expensive Olympics in history, one would assume maybe they would be getting it right.
You would think so.
Spending all that money.
Bro, we'll be talking about all of that. So many things. I don't even know where to start, bro. It's so much fun. Let's start where when everyone else gets the Sochi. When they start. As soon as they get the Sochi, you know what the first thing is going to happen? Like, if you went there right now, you, Drewster Cogburn, if you went to Sochi, you know what the first thing would happen to you after you landed?
I'd probably be searched.
No. It might happen before that.
Okay, what?
Your identity, stolen.
Already.
All your shit. Ganked. It's way too easy over there. Got a little...
Well, it's because there's no regulation over there.
No regulation.
It's the freaking Wild West.
It is the Wild West over there, but it's the East. Because they hate the West. Hacked in Sochi in minutes. Russian cyberspace full of risks. This is from Yahoo News. And actually they're just talking about an NBC News report where NBC News's Richard Engel baited the hook for hackers who quickly bit. Blah, 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 blah. In an experiment conducted with the help of an American computer security expert, this NBC News guy created a fake online identity with fake contact lists, phony names, addresses, and so on. It's called baiting the hook. In Russia, the pair fired up two new laptop computers loaded with the fake profile to see how long it would take hackers to do their business. Take a guess, Drew, how long it took.
Yeah, 3.5 seconds.
Yeah, well, it says that it's not that specific. It says they didn't have to wait long. In less than a minute, he received what appeared to be a custom email welcoming him to Sochi and asking him to click on a link for information he might find useful. After clicking, his computer was hijacked. Same scenario with his cell phone, etc., etc. It's crazy over there, man.
Yeah, that's why you don't click on anything or drink the water.
You're not supposed to click on anything. Oh, you want to talk about the water.
Don't drink the water.
You want to talk about the water. Let me see if I can find, if I can pull up. That's one.
It might have killed Bob Costas.
Twitter. There's a Twitter account at Bob Costas's eyes. And I think the profile reads like they're still red or something like that. It's ridiculous. Because in case you haven't been watching, Bob Costas, who's been doing the Olympics, covering for 16 years now. That's like, what, do you remember 2 years? That's 8 Olympics he's been doing?
Yep. 4 winters, 4 summers.
Showed up the first night on TV with one eye all like just red as fuck. And then Costas came back a couple nights later, both eyes red, worse than ever. They had to replace him with Matt Lauer.
Oh, did they fly him in?
I guess so. Was he there? I guess they had to fly him in, right? Wow, I guess
maybe,
so.
Maybe that's why he came back that second night with the jacked up eyes still.
It's like, we're still...
He's like, listen, Matt Lauer is... he's over the Pacific right now. He'll be here soon.
He's on his way. You need to go out there with your crazy eyes though one more night and scare America. Because that's what he said. But that's what he did. He scared America.
Yes, sir.
But everyone's scared over there in Sochi because things are going so horrible. The water there, Drew, the water. Don't drink the water. Are you kidding me? Would you even contemplate drinking this water?
That looks like scotch.
Yes. It's yellowish brown. Straight
that,
up.
That looks like scotch.
Yes. This was accompanied by someone's tweet at Stacey St. Clair. Let's see. She said, first she tweeted, my hotel has no water. If restored, the front desk says, do not use on your face because it contains something very dangerous. So don't wash your face with Sochi water.
Ugh.
It will burn your face.
Then what do I wash my face with? What do I wash my body with?
Toilet water. No, it's probably the same water. Bottled water. And then she tweets out the picture of two glasses of water, and they're totally scotch-looking, like you said.
Yeah.
She says, water restored, sorta. On the bright side, I know now what very dangerous face water looks like.
Scotch. Don't wash your face with scotch.
It's pretty horrible. It's pretty bad over there. So basically what's happening is they're so under-repaired over there at Sochi. Their infrastructure is so poor, and they had to build all these places so last minute that nothing is ready. And the media...
Last minute? When did they acquire the Olympics?
I think they acquired them like a year and a half, 2 years ago, like most cities, you know, with plenty of time. So I don't know why everything's like not prepared. They're still working on it, but that's what's happening. Everything's horrible, and the journalists... They're journaling, you know. Obviously, in this day and age, what are the pictures of the horribleness and... And, for example, let's look at this guy's room. This is what this guy showed up to this room. Imagine if you went to your hotel room set up by CNN. This guy's with CNN, and he showed up to that. And the curtain is just hanging off the window like that, and it's all crazy looking. And it's just not complete, you know. People are showing up in hotels with, like, their wires down the hallways and ladders and just debris everywhere. It is not good. At Sean Walker 7 tweeted, got back to hotel, lift broken after half day in use, trekked upstairs, door to my floor, that be the fire door, locked, utter farce. The CNN guy at Harry CNN tweeted, CNN booked 11 rooms in one media hotel 5 months ago. We have been here for a day and only one room is available. So that's how they're treating CNN.
Terrible.
Russia. Let's see. Oh, this is funny. Someone tweeted, people have asked me what surprised me the most here in Sochi. It's this, without question, it's this. And then he tweets a picture. There's a toilet with a little trash can next to it. And then a sign in Russian and English that says, please do not flush toilet paper down the toilet. Put it in the bin provided. Yep, uh-huh, there, yep.
Mm-hmm. So the plumbing can hold the shit, but not paper?
Yes. At Mark McKinnon tweets, okay, so my hotel doesn't have a lobby yet. Follows that up with, for those of you asking, when there's no lobby in your hotel, you go to the owner's bedroom to check in. Hashtag Sochi2014. Sensing a trend here about how utterly unprepared these people all ended up being.
It's insane.
Someone tweeted out congrats to another person. He says, congrats to at Dave Schwartz, only media personality who's arrived in Sochi with a hotel room that's ready.
Oh, good for him.
With doorknob that doesn't fall off.
Oh, nice.
Someone tweeted a picture of a manhole, like a sewer with no cover.
Uh-huh.
Because apparently not all the manholes are covered over there in Sochi. That's not good. That's just journalists tweeting the few things that they're showing up to and seeing. And it's just not professional, you know. It's not good. Part of the problem is corruption over there in Russia. Like you said, it's the Wild West.
Yes.
Right.
There's no regulation.
There is no regulation. So what happened is... all these projects that they had set up, like, you know, to build, what's it called? The iceberg is where they're doing the skating, right?
Yes.
Or, you know, they had to build more places for the curling and the hockey to house everything. They had to build a lot of stuff. What ended up happening was they all had initial estimates of, like, you know, say one building had an initial estimate of $30 million.
Uh-huh.
It ended up costing $70 million to make.
Oh, nice.
Another place had an estimate of, like, $13 million. It ended up costing almost $100 million to make. Like, a ridiculous inflation on what the original estimate was. And it's for every project they have. Everything was inflated that way.
Yeah.
And it's all because of, it's all going to shady businessmen and the mafia over there, you know, the Russian mob, organized crime.
Sweet.
They're just taking it.
Awesome. Good for them.
So
what do we get to look forward to from the Russian mob after the Olympics? with all this influx of money.
They're gonna have all that money and all these hockey arenas with no one there. And bless you. Oh, it's a triple. He's thinking will we go for an Olympic fourth.
I never sneeze in fours.
No, I never sneeze in fours.
Always threes.
Here we go. Olympic investors. You know what's going to happen after the Olympics are over and the mafia has all that money?
Yeah, yeah, what?
The Olympic investors are going to have to try to avoid default. federal authorities are trying to figure out how to avoid a default by investors who built the Olympic facilities in order to fully utilize the infrastructure built in the Black Sea Resort. The Prime Minister of Russia suggested turning Sochi into a gambling zone and to make it a tourist area. And Putin is totally against that. They outlawed gambling in Russia a few years ago under Putin. Putin is against gambling. He's kind of a conservative dude, surprisingly. That's why he hates the gays. You know what I mean?
But there's so much money.
That's a lot of people, man. They don't care about the money. They care about the morals. You know, I ain't gonna necessarily argue with someone's morals, but in this case, Fresh has got to figure out what to do because now they have all this shit built up. No one's going. Who's going to Sochi? It's a resort town, but not to this extent. Not the people that show up. It's insane.
Well, and especially with the water looking like that, no one's gonna go.
Great. There was one bobsledder
who died of drinking the water.
No one is drinking that water.
The Jamaican bobsled team. That's what happened to him.
I want to hear what happens to the Jamaican bobsled team. I want to know. There's this one bobsledder guy. His name is Johnny Quinn.
Okay.
And he got locked in his bathroom.
Okay.
And he had to bust out.
Sweet.
So here's a picture of his door. Then his roommate and teammate. Look
at that. Dude, he busted through it all Superman style.
He did. He kicked right through it. And then if you look at the door, doesn't it look like it's made of like cardboard or something?
Yeah.
It looks really cheap.
It does.
But he got locked in his own bathroom. He couldn't open it. Probably the doorknob fell off on his end. So he had to bust his way out. A couple days later, maybe even the next day, same guy stuck in an elevator. And he was with a journalist, and the journalist tweeted a picture. He's like, look, guess who I'm with? And now we're stuck in an elevator. Same dude had to kick his way out of his bathroom. So this Johnny Quinn guy, I don't even think he's competed yet as of this point.
And I'd be taking the stairs.
Yeah, he needs to take the stairs and maybe sleep in his car. I don't know. You'd think you would have bad luck.
Yeah.
But that's the norm in Sochi, apparently. That's how it goes down everywhere.
Ridiculous.
For example, there's someone tweeted out this picture. Actually, this whole little article is interesting. It's really short, so I'm going to read it. By Brian Costa. It's from the Wall Street Journal. That fucking rag of liberals and hippies, right? A stranger in the Sochi night. During an episode, blah, blah, blah. Who cares about that? During my first night in Sochi, I got a visit from the one who does not knock. The only sound I heard was a key going into the lock, and at around 4 a.m. Wednesday, the door to my hotel room opening. Half asleep, I looked up and saw the light shining in from the hall, but by the time I sat up to see who was there, the door had been shut.
What?
Yes. Do housekeepers work graveyard shifts here? Was it a construction worker, assuming something wasn't quite finished in the room? Who else would both have a key and be using it at 4 a.m.? Oh, I tried calling the front desk, but the phone didn't work.
Yep.
I dozed off again. It's about 5 a.m. when the sound of stray dogs barking began to echo outside, like a tree filled with birds singing just before sunrise, albeit less soothing. Stray dogs are part of the scene in Sochi, roaming the streets and occasionally chasing after pedestrians. And here's my favorite part. I had given up on sleep. I decided to walk down the hall and take the elevator 5 floors down to grab breakfast. Inside, a sign listed, quote, elevator user rules that included a ban on, quote, explosive, inflammable, and toxic substances in non-factory packaging.
So as long as it's in factory packaging, you're good to go.
Thank you very much. Fortunately, and then he goes on to write, fortunately, all my toxic substances were properly packaged. At the end of the list, this message appeared in bold red letters. right, go ahead. I'm going to pull this up and just let you read it. The last red sentence at the bottom of that little warning there. Can you read it?
Please remember, elevator is the equipment of increased danger.
Did you know that, Drew? Every time you got on the elevator, it's the equipment of increased danger.
So my danger increases by getting in the elevator?
Well, duh.
I'm taking the stairs.
In Russia, it does.
I'm taking the stairs, bro.
Right. What's that joke? In Soviet Russia, elevator takes you. That's the norm. That's how it is in Russia these days.
So, moral of the story, don't go to Sochi?
Moral of the story is, what the F? You know what also is happening over there, hilariously?
Huh.
And this is something that they can't control, but maybe could have been foreseen a little. Sochi, in Russia, even though you think of Russia, huge, cold, giant continent.
Yes.
Where Napoleon sent his men to freeze to death.
Yeah.
Right?
Never invade Russia in the winter.
Never invade Russia in the winter. You would, right? But apparently, if Napoleon just hung out in Sochi during the winter, it would have been maybe a nice balmy winter. They could have waited out the winter there and then marched up during the summer.
Yeah, don't they have palm trees in Sochi?
Sochi is a subtropical climate. It's like here, right?
Yeah.
How come Orlando can't have a Winter Olympics?
We could if...
If it's in Sochi, we can have one.
We'd have to make a lot of... We need a mountain.
We do need a mountain. That's what Sochi has. They do have mountains. However...
We need a mountain.
However, the snow is still melting. They've had to store something like a ridiculous number, like 400,000 tons of snow or 4 million, something, a ridiculous amount of snow that they've been storing and keeping aside just for this specific thing that's happening. Today in Sochi, it was like 63 degrees Fahrenheit, which is something like 16 degrees Celsius. And the snow is melting everywhere. The skiers are landing in puddles.
Uh-huh.
The people on the mountain in their suits, they're putting snow inside their suit to stay cool. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. So like I said, there should be a Winter Olympics. We got a...
We need a mountain.
We have hills.
Nope, doesn't count.
We can build a mountain.
Yes, we can.
Get the Disney people on it. Get the Imagineers on it.
They'll build a mountain.
They'll build a mountain that'll like change during the course of the event, and they'll shoot like dragons and stuff.
Round one, you have this route. You have this route. Round two, a whole new thing. It'll be like the Aggro Crag.
Aggro Crag.
You remember the Aggro Crag?
I do remember the Aggro Guts, man.
Yeah, dude.
Guts. I know the guy who knows the guy who produced that show.
Do you have it?
No, I don't. Actually, I thought I did when I was watching the show when I was younger. But now as an adult, I've had to do the same thing that the kids did. No,
so tiring.
My 12-year-old self could do it. Me now, no, not happening. It's just there's so many bad things. There's the whole Sochi dog killing thing. Like you mentioned, the stray dogs.
Stray dogs.
Already.
Yeah, yeah.
They've been killing them, throwing them in pits, poisoning them. Just it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And by most reports, they're friendly dogs. But a couple people are getting chased.
I mean, still, but for the most part, I mean, it is apparently an issue. Like, there were so many pretty much wild dogs
thousands.
Just running around.
We're talking about, like, thousands of dogs. Yeah, it's...
Well, that's what happens. They're out there. Animals like to screw and multiply.
Unchecked.
Yep.
Unregulated. I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying it.
Now, it is. It's fun watching them fail.
Now... The one thing they are getting right, apparently, and, you know, knock on wood, I hope this stays that way, the whole terrorist threat thing, that shit was crazy leading up to the Olympics. Like, people were putting out videos saying, we're going to bomb all you fuckers during the Olympics, right?
Not a chance.
And it's not like that hasn't happened before in the Olympics.
Yeah.
You know, Munich, there was that shit. Atlanta, mm-hmm. right? We had our own little wonderful domestic bombing thing going on. That was great. But they have, like, the crazy security. And no one can go anywhere. It's like you can go to the Olympic Village, or to your hotel, or you can go to the event, and that's it. Which is great for security, but terrible for the experience of going to the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because people are saying it's not like other ones where you can, you know, be free to go around and check shit out.
Yeah, I know.
They have insane checkpoints set up everywhere, and everyone's
well, it's because
like,
there's
so locked down.
In all reality, there's once you're in Sochi, there's really nowhere else to go.
Well, apparently, it is a resort town. It's got to be something in Sochi. Other than terribly built hotels and then horrible half pipes. That half pipe. We watched some of that half pipe competition where people were just falling.
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. They would get to the middle and they would just fucking faceplant because the half pipe was so poorly built. Because the Sochi people, the Olympic Committee, they decided to give the job to some like cut rate Norwegian or Swedish company, as opposed to using this. There's this one company, I think they're based out of New Mexico, and I guess they maybe I was gonna say, of course, in a place of the desert for snow half pipes, but just half pipes in general, right?
Yeah.
They're like the de facto number one. If you want a fucking half pipe, they're the ones to go to. If you want the Olympics, the biggest display in the world, supposed to be the best, you go to these people. They're like, we go over here to these people instead. They make our half pipe. And now the mill is all fucked up and it's super bumpy. The edges are all screwed up. It got to the point where Sean White, the Flying Tomato or whatever his name is, he dropped out of like all but one of the events because it's like
miserably.
And losing that one. Hey, he was on the top for a second there.
It was that, it was the Swiss dude and the two Japs.
The Swiss dude and the two Japs. Shout out to our Japanese listeners. We forgive you for World War II, buddy.
And they forgive us too, Chris.
Oh yeah. Thanks, guys. We appreciate. It. There's just so many. I'm so flummoxed with all these stories. Russia says its Sochi bathroom spy cameras show no plumbing problems.
Of course not, but I guarantee there's lots of pictures of naked athletes on the internet now.
Only if the Russian government releases them. Dmitry Kozak, this is from the Wall Street Journal, again, another pinko rag. Where is it? We already mentioned him. Anyway, Dmitry Kozak, deputy prime minister responsible for the Olympic preparations, reflected the view held among many Russian officials that some Western visitors are deliberately trying to sabotage Sochi's big debut out of bias against Russia. Quote, "We have surveillance video from the hotels that shows people turn on the shower, direct the nozzle at the wall, and then leave the room for the whole day," he said. An aide then pulled the reporter away before Mr. Kozak could be questioned further on surveillance in hotel rooms. So there you go.
So they're blaming Westerner blah 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 on one shitty guest?
On possibly one shitty guest. The bigger story being, if you are showering or shitting in your hotel room in
Russia, they're watching you.
The Russian government is watching you. Fun times. This is a fun story too. Because now they have all these places, all these 4,000, 5,000, 7,000 seat venues now. Like they built like five or six of them in a rotunda, right?
Yeah.
What good are all these fucking huge places if no one shows up?
I really think what's going to happen is by the time the next Winter Olympics come around, if you go to Sochi, it's going to be like a ghost town.
It is going to be a ghost town. It's going to be the worst. But I mean, what if no one shows up now to the games now?
Oh, so be it.
So be it. Empty seats plague Sochi games. In the background of almost every Olympic event this week have been large swaths of empty seats. This is from the Washington Post, by the way. Washington Post. One International Olympic Committee member suggested Monday that school children and unarmed soldiers be let in to help fill venues. We feared that a little bit, says a Norwegian member who heads the IOC Marketing Commission. We were warned about this. The TV pictures are wonderful. The competitions are wonderful. The venues are great. But I feel a bit the lack of enthusiasm and the joy of sports. Goes on to say there are not enough people. You have seen the stadiums are not filled. So, for example, at the Olympic Alpine men's downhill, failed to draw a full house. 6,000 fans at the 7,500 capacity venue place. What else we got here? I mean, some of them are kind of sad. They're just no one's showing up. And it's not that they didn't sell tickets either. Like 80% of ticket holders aren't showing up.
Mm-hmm.
It could be because they're afraid of terrorist stuff, the inconvenience of getting there, whatever reason, whatever it could be.
Or maybe they're stuck in an elevator.
Maybe they're stuck in fucking elevators. Yeah, there you go. They very well could be. So it's all fucked up there. And, you know, you said it when we started, Drew. Why did Sochi even get the, why would they even get the Olympics if they're so underprepared? And that is the question. That's the real question. And it all comes back to the corruption. But this time, it's the corruption going to the IOC, man, the International Olympic Committee. IOC. Yeah, that's right, right? I don't know. Fuck those guys, man. Why else would you give such a huge event to such a woefully underprepared place? One that is also so obviously corrupt. Like, you would think, the Olympic Committee is like, oh, we're not corrupt. We can associate with Russia and not be corrupt ourselves. That's fucking bullshit.
Well, I mean, it's impossible. We pretty much... I mean, the Summer Olympics in Beijing, what you're telling me, that the Chinese government isn't super corrupt as fuck?
That's different. Beijing has their own thing. China has their own thing going on, where that was... The Olympics at Beijing for China was to showcase China.
Yeah.
Right? And... to show how great their infrastructure is, how they could put on a big event like that. And at the end of the day, they nailed it. And
they did.
And there was a lot of propaganda there, et cetera, et cetera. This is not about Russia. This is about Putin. Vladimir Putin. This is like Berlin, 36.
Yeah.
Hitler.
I want the Olympics.
That was all designed to honor fucking Hitler. You know, it was all about him. This is all about Putin. That's why he's everywhere. That's why apparently for some odd fucking reason, every event that Putin shows up at to watch, the Russians win.
Huh.
So odd.
Huh.
Strange. How that happens. I don't know. It's all about him, man. That's why his face is everywhere. There was even a thing where during the Olympic, the opening ceremony, they had this thing with the five Olympic rings, and they're supposed to like pop up.
Yeah,
and
the last one didn't.
They're going to fan open, the last one didn't.
Unless you were in Russia.
If you were in Russia and on TV, apparently they showed like they showed a practice run. So in Russia, everyone saw the five stars, and they put out a picture of Putin watching it, and on his screen was the five stars. They showed the exact moment that got fucked up. And then everyone else was like, whoa, we got Twitter.
Yeah.
This is the internet age. You can't pull this shit on us anymore, man. 2014 Olympics, not the 1914 Olympics. We know. It's crazy. And it's corrupt. The only way Russia got it is by they tipped the IOC people somehow. They paid them. They did all the things that they had to do monetarily to make sure that they could get it. Because they're so hilariously unprepared for it. That it just doesn't make any goddamn sense that they would get it.
Well, it's done, Chris.
It is done. And now it's all going to shit. And thanks to the internet and thanks to Twitter.
Well, it just means that
we have a front row seat.
It just means that there won't be an Olympic Games in Russia for probably a very long time.
Probably, yeah, for a very long time. Last one was 80, Moscow.
Yep, well.
And that went great.
Yeah,
well. That went great because
that's Moscow.
That was Moscow. It was the Soviet Union. Again, that was for the state. That was for everyone built up those Olympics in Russia because it was all about making Russia look great. This shit's all about Putin, man. And it ugh, boy. So, hashtag Sochi problems, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. There is a lot of them. Yeah, but, you know, there's other crazy things going on in the world. Like I said last time, remember I said I was going to drop the whole Florida story thing because after 3 months, it gets pretty depressing going through every single freaking state and seeing all the kids being murdered. And, it's just... But still, I wanted to do the nice old news roundup. That's what a lot of shows do, right? Talking about the crazy things happening around the world, around the country.
Yep.
So I got a couple of things here. Let me just go ahead and cue this up real quick. And let's see. I got 10 stories. I'll just start with the first one. I'll just start with the first one and work my way around. And, you know, this is perfect. We'll even start in Florida. All right.
Okay.
We'll even start in Florida.
And what's going on in DFL?
You're going to love this story. NBC News. Naked, growling man shot dead by cops after biting teen's face.
Was he smoking bath salts?
You mentioned the bath salts. I'm interesting you mentioned the bath salts story, Drew. A naked, growling man was shot dead by cops after biting a teenager's face and attacking a retired police officer on Wednesday. Anesin Joseph. 6'3", 250 pounds, described as having the build of a football linebacker, seriously injured a 66-year-old retired policeman before chasing a father and his 10-year-old child down a road near Delray Beach, Palm Beach County.
Ah, Palm Beach.
Palm
Lovely.
Beach, what's up? Here's a picture of the dude.
Whoa. That's a big man.
Giant man, 6'3", 250. Big man. He looks normal in that picture. He's just chilling.
So what made him chew on somebody's face?
It doesn't say, but it does say that he chomped on the face of 18-year-old Tony Grain, who had stepped in to protect his sister and only let go when Grain stabbed him with a box-cutting blade. Dude is carrying around a box cutter with him. There's a lot of things that go through your head when you think you're about to when you think you're about to die, Grain told the paper. I was honestly panicking, scared he was going to rip my face because of what... See, he's talking about the Miami thing, too.
Oh, man. Right?
This is like something you see out of a zombie movie, his father, Mario, added. Mario, hey!
Hey! It's me, Mario!
The dude, Joseph, appeared to be in, quote, some state of psychosis, and was apparently unaffected by attempts to subdue him using a stun gun.
Nice.
So what, that'd be PCP? Angel Maybe. Dust, right?
Perhaps.
One of the deputies shot Joseph 3 times because he feared for the life of himself and his officers. Is the guy dead? Says he shot him 3 times. Is the guy dead? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Story started with naked growling man shot dead by cops.
Yeah. That's right. He was naked and growling at the time, apparently.
You know what? If some dude's naked and growling at me, I'd shoot him.
Yep.
I'd shoot him. So, yeah. Funny you mentioned Miami because this guy mentioned that Miami story also. And funny you mentioned bath salts because that story was how some dude was high on bath salts and he bit some other guy's face.
Yep.
And right in the middle of the street in Miami. Yep. And everyone's like, oh, Florida, you so crazy. Zombie outbreak in Florida. Florida, crazy.
Yep.
And then, of course, no one sees the retraction on page 26 about how no bath salts were involved.
Correct.
In that. And, oh, yeah. And actually, these are 2 homeless guys. And one is a mentally ill homeless man.
And that's why he chewed on his face.
And that's why he chewed on some other guy's face. Now, this seems like it's got to be a drug thing.
I would assume
obviously,
so.
Right? With the whole reaction uh-huh. to the tasering and stuff. Not going down from the taser. That's crazy. So that's going down in Florida.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Hey, so, I mean, old Florida, if you're so crazy, how can the rest of the world be any crazier than that?
Awesome. I have a feeling you're about to tell me.
Accused killer porn star nabbed at cafe.
Killer porn star?
Killer porn star. That's the guy in question right there.
Okay.
All right. Canadian Luca Rocco Magnata.
Okay.
All right. Who allegedly videotaped the murder of his lover and mailed his body parts. Mailed them. Has been captured in a Berlin internet cafe, according to the Berlin Police Department. Magnata, 29, is wanted by Canadian authorities for first-degree murder and other charges. The focus of an international manhunt for the murder of his Chinese boyfriend, who he allegedly killed on videotape, before posting the video online and mailing parts of his body to Canadian government officials.
Nice. That's grade A psycho.
That is intense, man. Apparently, a Turkish employee at the internet cafe somehow recognized the dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, he probably surfs the internet all the time.
I guess so.
Like international manhunt. This dude's like, wait a minute, I've seen that guy.
This Magnata guy went to this Berlin internet cafe to use YouTube, apparently. And this Turkish employee, Kadir and Endless, we'll just call him Kadir. He flipped through a newspaper to find a story and photo about the manhunt for Magnata. Oh, he flipped through a newspaper.
Good for him.
What the hell? And they had the story? Flipped through a newspaper to find a story and photo about the manhunt for Magnata in order to confirm his suspicions. When he saw a police car passing by, he rushed to stop them and said, I think there's a guy you're looking for inside the cafe. Yeah, and then they went in there and they got him.
Well, good for him. Good job, Kadir.
Yeah, good job. Good job, Turkish guy. All right, so here we go. You know, let's hear about the original, all this crazy stuff. He was a subject of a, quote, Interpol red notice. Drew, you do not have a red notice.
No, right? That sounds terrible.
Interpol posted 3 photos of a man passing through security at unidentified airport. In the photos, a man who appears to be Magnata was circled in red. Maybe that's how I got those pictures. Maybe that's how they got them. Anyway, so the victim was a Chinese student, 33 years old. He was studying in Montreal. He was reported missing to the police. On the same day he was reported missing, a human foot was discovered by a receptionist.
Nice.
This thing popped up there. This is kind of gross, actually. It was received in a blood-soaked package at the Ottawa headquarters of the Conservative Party of Canada. The CPC getting feet in the mail. A second package containing a hand was seized at a post office later that day.
Who got the head?
A janitor in Montreal found a torso in a suitcase behind an apartment building.
Who got the head?
Oh, behind the apartment building where this magnetic guy was living. And no mention of the hair.
I probably kept it for himself.
The state of the body is so bad it was cut, it was dismembered. This is a very hard case for us in terms of being extremely gross. We're still missing body parts. So yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he kept the head. So a Canadian porn killer nabbed in Berlin by a Turk.
Good for you, Kadir.
Good job, Kadir. We appreciate it, man, getting this psycho off the streets. UK immigration minister resigns over illegal cleaning lady. Britain's immigration minister, already under fire for what critics said was an overly harsh crackdown on illegal immigrants, resigned Saturday after it was learned that his cleaning lady was an illegal immigrant.
Awesome.
So he's one of these guys who's, you know,
hypocrite.
Let's kick these browns out. Except for
come
this one.
My house.
Except for this one that I'm paying 50 cents a day to clean my house. So that's the UK, man. That's wonderful. This one's from the Alanis Morissette department. This one's from the Alanis Morissette department. Is this on? This one's from the Alanis Morissette department.
What the fuck is that?
Whoa. All right, well, I'll tell you the story, and then you can tell me why. Crime dog actor sentenced for pot weapons.
I guess because it's ironic.
It's a bit ironic. Just a bit.
But Alanis Morissette doesn't know what the meaning of irony is.
Yeah, we're going to just ignore that for the time being. McGruff the crime dog has been barking up the wrong tree. John Russell Morales, 41, an actor who once played the crime-fighting cartoon Bloodhound, has been sentenced to nearly two decades behind bars after pleading guilty to possessing 1,000 marijuana plants and a cache of nearly 30 weapons, including a grenade launcher and thousands of ammunition rounds.
Oh, and you got 1,000 marijuana plants. You got to protect them somehow.
I guess. Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. So that's that.
Ah, poor Scruff.
No, Gruff.
Whatever.
Scruff. Gruff. Gruff the crime dog. The anthropomorphic bloodhound. Who wears a trench coat? He does. That's what he does. And a fedora? Was that supposed to make kids somehow wanna not do crime?
I have no idea.
New Mexico ambulance hijacked with sleeping worker inside.
Awesome.
So some dude was having himself a little nap in his ambulance at 3 a.m. when a man and a woman jumped in and just took off with it.
Ah, good for them.
Yep. Good job, guys.
How long till they realized somebody was inside?
Probably as soon as he woke up, it was like, what the fuck? Exclusive to who? News Channel 4. Teen tricks Walmart stores out of nearly $30,000. All right, this is in Oklahoma. This is actually
okay.
A pretty interesting story. 17-year-old is facing charges after he tricked three Walmart stores out of nearly $30,000. Blah, 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 blah. The teen stole from the stores in December after conning managers into believing he worked there. After reading the police report, he realized no one noticed or suspected anything. The report says at a Walmart, he, quote, acted as if he was a general manager from another store. That's good. Wearing the company's name tag and all, he told the manager, quote, he was doing an inventory of the store before general managers came to inspect them after the holidays. The report says he was alone in the cash office. He took multiple bundles of cash, stuffing them inside his pockets and clothes. He even hugged the manager before he walked out. Hey, this guy's good.
Thanks, dude.
That guy's good. I respect that. Have you heard a theory where you can get around pretty much anywhere as long as you have a clipboard?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Just walk. Just
if you have a clipboard and a name tag.
Clipboard. Well, name tag.
Maybe
it's got
a collared shirt.
Name tag has to be matching. Yeah, you can't be dressed like a real bum and walk around with a clipboard. People are like, what's this bum doing with the clipboard? Yeah, you gotta be dressed kind of nice. But yeah, if you have a clipboard, you're like walking around like, I belong here.
Then you do.
Then you do. There is no spoon. Right?
Correct.
Let's see what's going on over here. Let's see what's going on in San Diego.
Is that anywhere near San Diego?
I'm pretty sure it's north of San Diego. San Diego woman files dozens of meritless lawsuits. Pamela Stickler, 47-year-old San Diego woman, has filed nearly 80 lawsuits in county and federal courts over the last two decades. Her targets include political figures like Bill Clinton, companies like Marriott, agencies like the Federal Transit Administration, and average citizens. Nearly all of her suits have been dismissed for being meritless within a few weeks or months, but even one frivolous lawsuit can be expensive because, hey, they got to pay all these lawyer fees and shit. They had to put her, California put her on a vexatious litigants list. They have such a list for people like her.
For crazies.
First published in 1991, the list contains nearly 2,000 names and aliases of people who have repeatedly filed meritless claims. A number of prisoners are included in the list. Vexatious litigants must seek pre-approval from a judge before initiating a lawsuit in California court. And she was put on this list in 2003, and she's still going sue crazy.
Well, maybe one of these days she'll win. Probably not.
If she keeps trying, give it the old college try, one day she'll win. This is a fun story. This is out of Pittsburgh, PA. Bogus Burger King. Customers say Southside restaurant isn't the real deal.
Okay.
So in Pittsburgh, a sign outside a Southside restaurant says Burger King, but Channel 11 reporter, whatever the name is, reports that inside it's not the real deal. Talked to a customer who said the food didn't taste like Burger King during her recent visit. Quote, the food was in a brown paper bag. The fries were in a Dixie cup. I said, what is this? Said Montana Crosby. People have been posting questions about the restaurant on Reddit.com. Customers claim the food has tasted different for about a week. When they went in the restaurant to get answers from the management, they were asked to leave by a security guard. Eventually, an assistant manager explained they're in the process of transitioning to a new business called Southside Burgers. It's even on the receipts. However, the outside still says Burger King.
Nice.
Yeah. And that's the Burger King menu and everything, but they give them different shit. It's weird.
So weird.
Yeah, it's
so weird. I want a Whopper Jr. and instead I get something else?
They'll just be like, here's a burger. I wanted the Whopper Jr. It's a little smaller than our other burgers.
What?
Have you heard about the dumb Starbucks? That reminds me of dumb Starbucks.
No.
Someone opened up over last weekend in California in a really shitty strip mall that no one was using anyway. Someone opened up what looked like a Starbucks and the signage and everything, except it said dumb Starbucks. It had the logo, the circular logo, yeah. But they had the dumb in there and everything. It's all the same except they had a dumb, and they weren't charging for coffee, they weren't taking tips, they weren't charging for pastries, they were giving everything away.
Uh-huh.
They had a line down the block all weekend.
Oh,
just,
wow.
Like, just people wanted to get, yeah. Waiting for 2 hours to get bad coffee just so they could say they could. And then, of course, they made huge news, like it was designed to, and then it's all this Nathan Fiedler? I don't know, something like that. This Nathan guy, he's on Comedy Central. He's a stand-up comic. He's got a show, Nathan For You, where he goes to different businesses and gives them really stupid ideas.
So he did his own thing.
Yeah, yeah, so he did his own thing here. And it worked brilliantly because I saw today on the interwebs like a feature article. It was like, who is this guy? Like, and it showed all of the shit that he does. And genius. Good job, Nathan. Maybe the phony Burger King guy was trying to pull that.
Probably not.
Tennessee judge who ordered a name change for a baby Messiah fired. Did you hear that story? Did you hear about that? There was this judge. Let's see. I'll just start reading this. A Tennessee judge who ordered a baby's name changed from Messiah to Martin, saying the former was reserved for Jesus Christ, has been fired.
Damn straight. If somebody wants to name their kid Messiah, then they have the legal right to.
They have the legal right to. Child support magistrate Lou Ann blah 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 last August ordered a boy's first name changed over the objections of his parents when they appeared before her seeking to settle other issues. So the parents showed up to the court to do one thing, and the judge was like, yeah, baby's name is Messiah. I'm changing that. That's crazy.
Fired on the spot.
That's crazy. Well, not on the spot, because that happened a while ago.
Ridiculous.
But let's see. Previously cited by the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct for inappropriate religious bias.
Yep.
The board has no longer on the bench. Blah, blah, blah. Explanations. This is funny. In all, actually, Messiah is the 387th most popular name for boys in the U.S. in 2012.
Nice. So there's a whole bunch of kids out there named Messiah.
In all, there were 762 applications for boys named Messiah in 2012. More than double the 368 applications made in 2011. So there are thousands of Messiahs out there now.
Well, good for them.
I haven't met a single one.
Nope.
Who is your Messiah? Well, this guy's
I got a Messiah down the road.
Got a Messiah down the road. Got a Messiah who mows my lawn. There's a Messiah who cuts my hair. And finally, in Montana, a school fires unmarried teacher for being pregnant.
So, because she's pregnant and unmarried, she's
out of job. Here. Get the fuck out of here, you slut.
Ridiculous.
Montana resident Sheila Evanson was a teacher at Butte Central Grade School, instructing 6th through 8th grade students in lit and physical ed for nearly a decade. However, the Helena Diocese, which oversees the Catholic school, dismissed her last month.
Catholic school, that's up to them.
It is up to them. They can't be trying to tell their kids to not play with their dirty downstairs parts because they're sinful, and not to mash them together with the other kids. They can't tell them to do that, and then meanwhile they got a teacher over here who's pregnant and not married.
Yep.
You know? They can't be doing that.
Who? And why is she pregnant? Because she mashed her lady parts with some dude's man parts.
Yes, her dirty, sinful. That's how the Catholics do it anyway.
I know.
So she, of course, is suing based on Federal Equal Opportunity Commission, Act Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, 1964.
She's gonna lose.
You would think I'd bring a story up to be like, fuck the school, but no, I'm saying, fuck you, lady. You can't be getting a job at a Catholic school and get your ass knocked up and then sue them for discrimination for when you don't. You agree to work under their rules, all right? It's a private institution. You know that they have certain moral stances. They're not going to go out of their way to hire, like, lesbians or,
a gay black Jew.
Right. You know, they're sticking with what they know. And if you get pregnant, you ain't married, you ain't got a ring on it.
Psh, yeah, they're gonna kick you out.
You're done. What are you doing living in Montana anyway? Get out of Montana. That's a double strike for you, lady. Goodness gracious. So there you go. That's your news around the country and around the world. Really, it's just it's all fucked up, right?
Yeah, dude. The world's a pretty messed up place.
That's why we need positive stories every now and then. And you know how hard it is to find a good positive story?
Yes, I did. That's why I don't watch or listen to or read the news.
Understood, exactly. I mean, what was that? We just went through a half an hour of bullshit horror stories right there. So that's why, let's get a little more positive. I got one really good story here.
All right, what is it? What's going on, Chris?
I think people are going to enjoy.
Bring that ray of sunshine.
Where is it? Here we go. So, Seattle Seahawks. They won this thing called the Super Bowl. I don't know.
The big game?
Some sort of game.
Something that has to do with foosball?
I don't know. So number one viewed event ever in history of things being viewed. I have no idea. So this kid showed up to the big parade they had in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
He showed up to the parade dressed in his 49ers gear.
Okay.
Because he's a Niners fan. The Seahawks had to beat the Niners to get to the Super Bowl, right? So first off, a journalist tweeted out a picture of him, that picture right there, with he's got that stripy head on, and scarf. He looks
just,
like
it's just a kid dressed in red.
It's a kid dressed in red, with Niner stuff all over it, and he tweets, "At Seahawks Super Bowl celebration at CenturyLink, this guy has guts, plain and simple. Among those, blah, blah, blah." So here we go. Among those who noticed this tweet was Catherine Tate, president of Ladies of the Empire, a 49ers booster club. She wanted to reward this guy's bravery and loyalty by inviting him to the Seahawks-Niners game next season at the new stadium. She had a front row for him.
Nice.
He created a GoFundMe account so other 49ers fans could help him pay for his trip from Seattle to the Bay Area. Because he is a kid.
That's cool.
This is where the story takes a twist. Turns out that the fan is a 15-year-old homeless boy. Kid's homeless. Named Ronnie Andrews. He lives in a shelter and is a ward of the state. So A, he's a ward of the state. And then he's living in a shelter?
Poor kid.
Washington fucked up. You fucked up, Washington.
Yeah.
You just let your kids live in shelters on the street. And because he's a ward of the state, he might not be able to travel to California until he's 18. They're like, no, you got to continue being homeless here for another 2.5 years.
That's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. In the meantime, 49ers and Seahawks fans alike have helped raise more than $26,000 for Andrews. And Tate, the lady, the booster lady, she wrote over the weekend on the website that the funds will not go to waste. The money will not just be handed over to this minor. Once he has been placed with a foster parent, we will contact the parent and arrange to set up a bank account in his name to be accessed when he turns 18. He has a huge desire to attend college and is blown away that so many people want to help him. He fully intends on using this money for this purpose. You have all changed this kid's life. On Monday, the same lady sent out an update. I just spoke to Niner Waldo. That's what she started calling him because he kind of looks like...
Yeah, where's Waldo?
Right? I just spoke to Niner Waldo kid. Great news, everyone. 5 qualified foster care providers have stepped up to welcome him into their home. It's looking like by this Friday, February 14th, he will not only get a home, he will get to choose. Thank you for everyone for your help. Now let's send this kid to college.
Well, there we go.
It's really hard when you get past a certain age, not even teenager, when you get past age of like 4...
Yeah, people don't want you.
It's really hard to get adopted. When you're a teenager, forget about it. People are just like, just tough it out for a couple of years, kid.
Yeah, seriously.
And then being homeless adults or whatever, you know? So it's awesome that somehow he got the extra chance. You know, hopefully he'll make the best of it. And good job, dude. And good job. Good job, people, for stepping up, giving this kid money and helping out and, you know.
Oh, someone's giving him a home.
Thank God. Thank God, because we need people like that to help make the world go around, right? Because it all can't be just shit.
No,
it can't all be shit. There's got to be a little bit of shinola in there. All right, so you know what? I don't know how quickly I can do this. I'm going to try to do this kind of
thing. It needs to be fast. I'm starving.
Oh, well, excusez-moi. It's not my fault you didn't eat anything beforehand. Yeah, plenty of time to eat some food. But instead, you were just drinking away. Anyway, I'm going to do the hating it, loving it segment. You know what I'm kind of hating right now?
What are you hating, Chris?
I'm only kind of hating it, but I really want to talk about it. this fucking guy.
This fucking guy.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia the douche. He has lost his goddamn mind, Drew.
How so?
He's lost his mind. All right, you know about all the plagiarizing stuff, right?
Yeah.
It was found out last year that he did a whole short film that was plagiarized from a comic book or a comic strip by the guy who did a Ghost World and all this stuff, right? Daniel Close. And once it was found out that he plagiarized that, people started digging into Shia LaBeouf's past. Then they found all this other stuff that he's plagiarized. He went on Twitter to apologize to the guy.
And plagiarize that.
And then he started plagiarizing other celebrities' apologies. And it's just been horrible. And then it turned into a real sideshow when he hired a skywriter to write, like, I'm sorry to the guy. And then when people ask him about it, sometimes he says it's sincere. And then other times he says that it's all performance art. Just last week, he showed up at the Berlin Film Festival where they played Nymphomaniac, Lars von Trier's movie. That's his new pornographic, like hardcore sex film, right? And Shia LaBeouf is in it. So he shows up, obviously, to do the press, but he's dressed like a total bum. Like, just, he looks like shit. He had a brown paper bag over his face that said, I'm not famous anymore. On the red carpet, actually, I think he was wearing like a tux. But a brown paper bag said, I'm not famous anymore, with the eye holes cut out. And then at the press conference after the movie, he was dressed like a total bum. And when someone asked him a question, he like grabbed the mic like like this, like made a lot of noise, and he grabbed it and pulled it really close to him, and then he quoted some guy without attributing it to who the guy was. So I'm going to say he plagiarized that guy too. He quoted some guy, some awkward quote that even when the original guy said it, people were like, what the fuck does that mean? And he quoted that dude and then got up and walked out like it was some big dramatic moment. And all the other actors like Christian Slater and Uma Thurman, they just laugh like, oh, here, there goes that douchebag again, you know? So here's what he's doing now. Shia LaBeouf launches bizarre public performance art piece. This is brand new. He is now himself an art installation. He has turned himself into art. He is setting up shop for 1 week at a gallery on Beverly Boulevard in Los Angeles. Any of our California listeners or LA listeners, we can go, like, get us pictures, get us something of this right now. Please do so and send it to us, because we gotta see this. Send it to us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. The show is called #IAmSorry, the same hashtag he tweeted at 11 a.m. Pacific Time Tuesday on his official Twitter account. A press release unveiling the performance art show reads, Shia LaBeouf is sorry, sincerely sorry. He will be in situ at 7354 Beverly Boulevard for the duration. Implements will be provided. Free admission. All right. First off, So many things I want to unpack here. First off, it's free. So go. If you're in California, go. Go see Shia LaBeouf now. It's free. They even give out the address. 7354 Beverly Boulevard. Put that in your GPS and go see Shia LaBeouf for free. Secondly, he is sorry. Sincerely sorry, Drew. Do you believe that? Do you believe in sincerity at this point?
I do believe that sincerely he's a sorry human being. Now, unfortunately, saying that you're sorry is not an apology. It's a statement of a fact.
I like you.
And I agree, he is sorry.
I like the way you're using the words there. Very smart, Drew. Close read. That's a close read. He is sorry. Implements will be provided. That's the most
hopefully for torture. Like, if I can go and, like, you'll give me, like, a baseball bat and I can, like, maybe break his kneecaps or something.
I don't think that's not what he gave out. All right, fortunately for us, the Hollywood Reporter, they went and checked it out. They arrived late Tuesday morning for the unveiling, where two security guards were positioned outside. After being let into the gallery, a woman seated behind a table invites visitors to choose one object from a selection of implements. Several of the objects correspond to major films associated with LaBeouf's career, including a whip for right in Indiana Jones, several Transformers toys, a bowl of Hershey's Kisses, a pair of pliers, a bottle of Brut cologne, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and a bowl of folded up notes, each bearing Twitter comments about LaBeouf, according to the proposal, are all available for choosing. It doesn't say what you're going to do with the implements, though. The visitor is then led past a curtain into a tiny room. Are you? Imagine this.
I am.
Okay. Inside, LaBeouf sits at a small wooden table. The now famous paper bag declaring, I am not famous anymore, placed over his head. The wrinkled bag appears to be the same one he wore on the Berlin red carpet. During THR's visit, LaBeouf never broke eye contact during the one-on-one. How creepy is that?
He just stares into your eyes.
He threw the bag. And he responded with total silence to a series of questions. So he sits there and stares at you.
Dude, what is he on? I want some.
His only reaction came at the very end in the form of a nodded acknowledgement after being thanked for the experience. So he nods. He nods at the end. Oh, that's so fantastic. It's so fantastic. People gotta go. This guy is so douchey. So over the top douchey. How often does this happen? Not that often where we get this level of douchery. And it's so close that he can almost touch him. He's gonna be right there. You can walk into a tiny room and LaBeouf is sitting there with a paper bag on his head and he will stare at you. And you can say and do whatever you want to him. Probably just probably can't touch him or pee on him.
Yeah.
You'd be like, LaBeouf.
Dude, you suck.
You're being a complete douchebag right now, bro. And he'll just stare at you.
Yep. Through the bag.
With his dead eyes.
Through the bag.
Coked eyes? No. Nah. Couldn't sit still.
Nope.
So it has to be a downer.
Opiates.
Opiates. Opiates. Why couldn't heroin take Shia LaBeouf? You heard me, Shia. Why couldn't heroin take you? You know, I wanted to like the guy too for years. When people are hating on him, people hated on him for a long time before this.
Well, there was a reason, apparently.
There was a reason, apparently. I was like, no, you know, I think the guy's a good actor. I'm gonna support the guy. I'm gonna keep liking him. And but he is not making it easy. He makes it damn near impossible to like him. On the flip side, you know what I'm loving?
What are you loving, Chris?
Simpsons Tapped Out. I'm pretty sure I'm really behind on it too. Like the rest of the world got in on it like a year ago and then stopped using it. I'm super behind. It's cool.
Are you gonna tell everybody about your corn fiasco?
Oh, the corn fiasco. Yeah, but the
great corn fiasco.
But it resolved itself, so it's fine. Yeah. We don't have to get into the great corn fiasco of 2013. It's cool. It was resolved, so we're good to go. Now I'm growing Valentine's bushes and shit for Valentine's Day, giving them to Marge.
So stupid.
Homer and Mindy, they're like on the verge of an affair. What do you know? Homer's not going to go through with it.
He can't.
He loves Marge too much. But I love that game because I love The Simpsons. And
you love touching things.
And I do, just tapping the screen because it's like the least involved video game ever. Barely called a game. It's just Simpsons touching stuff. But it's fine by me.
That sounds really weird.
Because for about 10 minutes when I do that, I get a couple jokes. I got to look at some Simpsons characters. I remember a couple episodes, and I feel better about the world. You know, don't have to think about Shia LaBeouf anymore. Right?
Shia the douche.
Shia, but you can go tell him yourself for free.
Yeah, if I was in California, I would.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I would. I'd sit there and stare into his dead eyes.
I would go, I'd ask him if I could take a picture, and when he doesn't respond, because apparently he's not responding.
Then you take a picture.
Click. Like I'll do Shia LaBeouf selfie. There's got to be people out there with Shia LaBeouf selfies by now. Oh, I got to find them. Anyway, well, that definitely brings us to the end of the show, Drew. You're hungry, Drew?
Yes, I'm starving.
What's for dinner, man?
Nothing.
So what's the rush?
I have to find something.
What's the rush? There's nothing for dinner.
That is the rush. I have to leave the domicile and find some sort of sustenance.
Gotta leave the studio.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for suffering through the show with me then.
I just didn't realize how hungry I was until about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, no. I'm pretty hungry too.
Yeah.
So I could go for some food as well. And it's the end of the show. No one's listening anyway. So.
That's awesome. But so we don't have any food.
We might as well place an order while we're doing the show. We can call someone up, place an order. You want to do that?
Yeah.
We can call a pizza guy, order a pizza.
From where?
From someone that still takes orders over the phone. You know what I'm hating? Let me tell you, I'm hating these things. I'm hating that Domino's commercial where the guy's like, are you in a tunnel? Am I in a tunnel? No. Why would anyone ask him if he's in a tunnel?
Stupid.
It's the stupidest fucking commercial. It's not funny. It doesn't make any sense. Fuck you, guy who made that commercial. I'm not talking about the actor. He just showed him right apart.
You know what? Why don't we just say screw you, Domino's in general? They have garbage pizza anyway.
Yeah, their pizza ain't that good. But if they want to come on and be a sponsor, then their pizza's wonderful and I love it. Because I'll sell out like that.
I wouldn't eat it.
Bill Hicks would hate me.
Yes, he would.
Sorry, Bill.
He's rolling in his grave right now.
Yeah, he is. But once he found out CVS stopped selling cigarettes, he did a triple roll. He rolled over backwards 5 times. Anyway, thank you guys very much for downloading the show. We appreciate it. Please go to chriscresswell.com. Download the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, rate us. Review us. We really need the help.
Chris,
we really appreciate it. Follow the show on Twitter at Crespo Diso. Follow the show like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Follow the show on Instagram at CinemaCrespoDiso. Look at our hashtag clouds and hashtag food porn and hashtag sunsets. Oh, and behind the scenes stuff too. You want to see some behind-the-scenes stuff? Instagram, as well as clouds.
as well as clouds.
Follow me
behind
on Twitter.
Behind the scenes of clouds.
follow me on Twitter, at I am Chris Crespo.
Who are you?
I am Chris Crespo.
Are you sure about that?
Positive about
it. Are you sure you're not somebody else?
I'm definitely Chris Crespo.
Damn.
Follow Drew Zakogra on Twitter, at
Antihero419, same on Instagram.
That's Antihero419. He does not want you following him on Facebook. Don't even bother searching Drusa Cogburn. You will not find him.
No, you will not.
Or maybe you will. Who knows?
Well, I mean, unless you know me personally.
Maybe you will. So, end of the show. Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
And I guess let's go get some food.
Grubbage.
Yes.
hunger.
The Hungry Game.